We're going to move to the second case, U.S. versus Akins, 11-1303. And for the appellant, Mr. Wilmoth.
May it please the court, Ms. Mullen. I'm here on behalf of Timothy Akins. The government has partially recast the appellant's issues in this case. The appellant's issues are only two overlapping issues of claimed procedural error at sentencing by the district court. Number one, a Nelson versus United States Supreme Court claim that the district court considered a guideline sentence to be the correct and reasonable one, and a Seventh Circuit Cunningham claim that the district court failed to give meaningful consideration to non-stock principal arguments of the defense that have factual and recognized legal merit. To be clear, this is not an appeal of the district court's substantive reasonableness at sentencing, a sentence of 188 months at the low end of the applicable guideline sentencing range. Now, as to the presumption of reasonableness claim here, the troublesome language of the court, at least the defense believes it to be troublesome, is the district court's assertion at sentencing, and the court's discourse at sentencing covers just about a page of transcript. The district court said, quote, normally we begin at the middle of the guideline range, go up further if there are aggravating factors, or if there are mitigating factors, we go down. This is the court still speaking. So we're talking a spread here of 180 months to 235 months, that's a 40-month spread, quote, quote. Now, the district court made no mention during the sentencing discourse of any Title 18, Section 3553A factors or any of the specific.
Well, isn't that using the guidelines as a starting point? That's certainly appropriate, isn't it?
It is. But
well, isn't that what he did here?
I submit to you that that's
How can you define for me the difference between using them as a starting point and somehow declaring they're reasonable? Seems to me those are pretty close situations, and it's hard to distinguish them.
Agreed. But what I think occurred here by the district court's language is it didn't use the guideline range as a whole as a starting point or a benchmark, as it is supposed to do, and then draw upon the 3553.
You're considering it as a whole. You still have to start someplace, the bottom, the top, the middle, here, someplace.
Right. But if I could just finish in response to Judge Cudahy. You start with the guideline range as a whole, that, 47-month spread as an initial benchmark, and then you go to 3553A to see whether you stay in that guideline range, go above it, or go below it. And now in response to your inquiry, Judge Bauer, what this judge said is we start not at the as a benchmark with the guideline range. We start in the middle of the guideline range.
Normally we start in the middle.
He did say normally.
And he preceded that with a statement that the guidelines are just that, guidelines for judges, and the record cannot be ignored.
Well,
it seems to me you're picking his later comment a little bit out of context.
But this court has repeatedly said, first of all, he didn't say much to begin with, so I don't know how much can be taken out of context. But this court has repeatedly said that a mere statement by the district court that I'm not considering the guidelines mandatory and I understand that they're just advisory is besides the point. It's really the entirety of the sentencing discourse that determines whether the court was true to that mindset.
As an aside, don't you think they should have gotten rid of the guidelines altogether when they had the crack at it?
Well, that's a whole other
issue. Yeah, I understand that.
A whole other case.
We wouldn't be sitting here batting each other around if that were.
Well, if what you're suggesting, that this court has taken up an incredible volume of sentencing appeals as a result of the change in sentencing law, I couldn't agree with you more. But I think what we've arrived at is that the court cannot use language that causes you, the reviewing court, concern, or if there's some ambiguity there of whether the district court considered the guideline range here as presumptively the reasonable and correct sentence. And you know, that kind of
feeds into the second defense argument, and that's that the district court gave no meaningful consideration to some principled non-stock arguments. Now, you recall there were some stock arguments, because typically there is when you're doing advocacy at the district court level. But this court has recognized that stale convictions that qualify as career offender predicates is something the court should consider. And it was brought to the district court's attention that the Sixth Circuit has held that when the government utilizes its discretion to file a sentencing enhancement under Title 21, Section 851, which further ups the ante for career offenders, that may cause disparity in sentencing if different United States attorneys' offices across the country are filing 851 enhancements and others aren't. Well, that was brought to this district court's attention, and it was wholly ignored. And that's particularly of concern to this appellant when we have this language, this very strange language, I submit, about starting in the middle of the guidelines and then going up or down depending on mitigating or aggravating factors. And with all due respect to this very experienced and seasoned district court judge, what's pretty clear, what's a fair inference from that language, although there was no talk about 3553A factors, what's pretty clear that judge was doing is we start at the middle of the guideline range. If there's 3553A factors that are positive for the defendant, we'll come down from the middle of the guideline range. If there's 3553 factors that are against the defendant, we'll go up from the middle of the guideline range. I think it's a fair inference that this sentencing judge said, however, that you can't do any better than the low end of the guideline range. That's all I have if anyone has any additional questions.
I don't see any. Thank you. But now, Ms. Mullen.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Linda Mullen on behalf of the United States. Mr. Wilmoth and I actually agree about several things in this case. This is obviously an appeal about the procedural soundness of this sentence. We strongly urge this court, as does Mr. Wilmoth, to look at the entire sentencing record when determining whether or not a sentence is procedurally sound. So let's look at that record and see what happened here. The parties do not dispute here that this was a properly calculated guidelines range, or that the judge turned to both parties, gave them an opportunity to discuss the relevant 3553A factors, gave the defendant an opportunity to speak, then applied the 3553A factors in determining the appropriate sentence. Where we differ is about the significance of this single comment made by the judge that normally, as Judge Bauer points out, that the judge likes to start in the middle of an appropriately, properly calculated range, when that range is appropriate for that defendant. That's what this judge did here. The judge, as the panel has pointed out, has to start somewhere. We know that the judge has to calculate the guidelines range, and we know that it's appropriate for the judge. The judges have been told you may use this as the initial benchmark in sentencing. You may use this as the starting point. So that's what Judge Mills did. He said this is an appropriate range for this defendant, for this career offender who has 23 criminal history points. This is an appropriate range, and typically in this situation, I'm going to start at the middle of the range, look at the 3553A factors that are relevant to this particular defendant, and decide where to end up.
Seems to me that one of the problems here, though, is to distinguish between using something as a starting point and suggesting that it's reasonable. I mean, that's a distinction that can be made, I'm sure, but it's not an easy one.
Right, and I do think that is a fine distinction, Your Honor. And in the cases where this court has remanded, we have district court judges who got confused for a while when the courts of appeals were applying that presumption.
We were confused, too, so we were.
I'm sorry?
I said we were just as confused as
ever. We were all confused for a while. But when the courts of appeals were told to apply the presumption of reasonableness to the within-guideline sentences, for a while we were getting some of the district courts saying, I'm going to presume that this sentence is reasonable, or I may presume that this sentence is reasonable. But that's not what we have here. This judge very clearly said, I understand that the guidelines are advisory, and again, was calculating the guideline range and then using a point within that range. To us, it seems eminently reasonable, actually, to start in the middle of a properly calculated guidelines range. Some judges will say on the record, I'm going to start at the bottom of this range when I'm looking at the factors. Some start at the top. We get that a lot.
Well, I didn't use the word presume, but, of course, your opponent said that's what he meant. So
Well, you know, so our opponent is suggesting that you take any ambiguity, and this is, of course, coming up in several of these Judge Mills sentencings, but that you take any statement that could be considered ambiguous and resolve that ambiguity against the district court. And what we would ask you to do instead is, again, to look at the entire sentencing transcript, the entire sentencing record, and ask yourselves whether you have concern about the procedural soundness of the sentence. Now, to remand on procedural error, that error needs to be egregious. That error needs to be substantial. And we would submit in this case, there's nothing even approaching that. In terms of the second argument raised by the defense, that the district court failed to address the principal non-stock arguments, this was, again, a career offender case with 23 criminal history points. All the parties were appropriately focused, both parties and the court were appropriately focused on the defendant's criminal history and deciding where to end up here. That's what the court talked about. The court is not required to specifically address the argument that the court may consider in a given case the career offender guidelines range inappropriate or may disagree with it on policy grounds. The court, of course, may consider that argument, but is not required to discuss that. That's not a 3553A factor. So the fact that defense wants to raise it, that argument was implicitly rejected when the district court adopted that as the guidelines range and commented that this was the appropriate range and then looked at that criminal history in deciding the point on the range at which to sentence the defendant. I have nothing further unless you have any questions for me.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Mullen.
Thank you.
But don't go too far. Mr. Wilmoth.
Very briefly, Judge, without patronizing you, Judge Sakatahi, I think you probably have it right. I mean, how can you tell whether starting in the middle was reasonable in this case? But I have an answer for you how you can tell, and it's this simple. Take a look at this record and determine whether this district court, take a look at this one-page sentencing discourse, and determine whether this court was doing what it was supposed to do, which is this, and it's really very simple. Draw upon the guidelines for insight. That's your starting point and your benchmark. I don't care where you do it, I guess. The government says you ought to be able to do it wherever he wants to. But ultimately, he must, since 2005 and 2007, with Gall, Kimbrough, et al., tailor a particular sentence based on Title 18, Section 3553A. This record doesn't show that that happened. And instead what this record shows is that this court could have made precisely the same statements it made in this case in support of any other different sentence. That's how bare this record is. And based upon its comments, start in the middle and then presumably end somewhere within the range, it's also infirm. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. But you too shouldn't go too far because you're up next on U.S. versus...